Because today we're talking about passionate praise. Now, Cliff's been working through the book of John. You'll see that I have John 4:24 noted here. Cliff's been working through the book of John. He started the series 4 weeks ago. And I said to him, you know, it'd be really cool if, like, by the time I get to John 4, like, you're up to that point. Well, 4 weeks in, he's still on John chapter 1. So this series should slide him right into retirement. You know? Maybe not. He might only be halfway there by that time. But I am just loving the book of John because it is all about Jesus, how he handled things, how he did things. So today is passionate praise. We've been digging into what it means to follow Jesus, how he did life differently than the way that other people did it. And Jesus' family, his friends, foes, fans, followers, Pharisees and foreigners didn't get him. Yet he intrigued people so much that many people did follow him. And now millions, billions have followed Jesus because of their testimony. I want you to say that, because of their testimony. Because of their testimony. What's your testimony? Who's going to come to Jesus because of you? Because of your story. Who was Jesus? Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This was a strong, bold statement. But Jesus backed it with proof and truth, right? He walked among man as God, revealed in an earthly body. He laid down the perfection of heaven, the crown of heaven. He laid it down to come here as a baby, to come here and to walk and to understand the way that we walk, to have friends, to show his friends how to go to the Father, how to praise, how to pray, how to trust, how to treat people, right? And he came into this imperfect world. Perfection came into this imperfect world. And he is worthy of not only our praise, but our heartfelt, authentic devotion, first and foremost. Jesus has to be first in our lives. He's number one. And he's the only way to God. It's not any God, and I don't have time to get into all that today, but we don't get to Father God through all different ways in our own truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus. He is the one who bridged the gap from us to Father God. He gave his life on the cross. Amen? All right. So when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will be added to us. Everything else will fall into place when our hearts align with God. And if you just entered into praise this morning while we were singing, if you were singing along with us and you were focusing on Jesus, you just aligned your heart with his. And you said, Jesus, do something in me. Change me. Because God is a God that does not leave us the way that we were, but he takes us as we are. Amen? He's worthy of our passionate praise. And when you think of the word passionate, you think of pain. You think of anger. You think of enthusiasm, excitement, right? God doesn't like boring praise, okay? But let's just get that point out here. He wants us to be excited about who he is and what he's done, and to come into that relationship with him. Well, you might be thinking, well, Jen, you like to sing. You like to sing, Jen. What if I don't like to sing? You know, so you might be thinking, oh, this is Jen, the praise and worship leader. Yeah, she's talking to us about praise today, right? Yes, I've been singing in church since I was 3 years old, and I've been involved in our Sunday morning music ministry since I was a senior in high school. That was 1995. Kids, yes, back in the 1900s. I am old, okay? I saw a post, it says, I think Christy posted it. You know you're old when somebody starts talking about 30 years ago and you think they're talking about the 1970s, right? And you're like, wait. Yeah, for you teens and young adults, 40 comes fast and it doesn't stay long, right? The first song I recall singing in church was when I was 3 years old, and it was, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Right? That was the very first song I remember singing in church. And even at that young age, I can still remember knowing that people needed to hear that message. As a three-year-old, I knew people need to know Jesus loves you. Right? And you need to know Jesus loves you. It's truth. As a church, we value excellence in our services and in our praise time. And I've had the privilege of leading our worship teams since 2001. And I just want to give a shout out to our praise team. They come every Sunday morning, every two services, early practice. We're here at 7 o'clock, 7:15. We start practice, and we practice, and we praise, and we do two services, and by the time we go home, we're tired, right? And every Tuesday night, Jess leads the Celebrate Recovery team. And every Wednesday night that there's Elevate, Haley leads the Elevate worship team. And we have various people in the church that lead praise at small groups. And, you know, we have our Vacation Bible School team that comes and has energy with the kids and teaches our kids to praise. There are praises going up all week around here. Isn't that awesome? Yes. And I love how Lloyd pointed out that 24 hours on a Sunday, churches around the globe are lifting up the name of Jesus. And I had this line in my head one time, you know, when we reach for heaven, you touch the earth. We reach out, heaven, you that song that I wrote, you know, the earth is stretching, heaven's bending. And that's kind of what I got with that first picture there, just this concept of the earth stretching and heaven bending to us when we lift up the name of Jesus. So Jesus loves me, this I know. We also have our sound and video crew that get the words up here and get it sounding good for us. And I'm just so blessed. As long as I can remember, singing has been one of my passions. But singing praises to Jesus and helping others do the same fuels that passion. He is the reason I sing. He is the reason that we praise, right? And I love, love, love singing praises with you. I love when I hear your voice. I don't want to hear my voice. I want to hear your voice. My voice and the drums are just to keep us all together. Because I noticed if I stop singing and the drums stop playing, we all go in at our own rhythm, right? And if the drums stop, we just like clap in our own, not sure where to clap, right? So that's why we just kind of keep everybody on track. Amen. And I can hear your voices. It's awesome. But praise is an expression of the heart. Praise does not just mean singing. Praise can be spoken. Praises and shouts and declarations of God's faithfulness and his, you know, just how amazing he is. A song, a prayer, a journal entry, a painting, you know, all those things, those are simply containers for our hearts, that heart of worship, that heart expression. But there is something about private praise that changes us, that opens our hearts. There is power to change. So when we talk about praise today, don't touch that dial. Don't tune me out and plan out your lunch menu thinking this is just for singers, okay? But if you do order lunch, I will take a chicken Caesar salad with dressing on the side, okay? Just in case. Distraction, right? Lunch. Stomach's growling. Lisa said, I forgot to eat this morning. How many of you forget to eat? No. Yeah, okay, a couple of you. Just. Cliff says, yeah, I never forget to eat. You know, when I have to tell him that. Your stomach starts growling during the praise time. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, what am I going to have to? Oh, we should go out to lunch today. Oh, I should do this. I should do that. Oh, I forgot to, you know, call that person. Oh, tomorrow I got work. I got that meeting. Oh, I got it. And you're in the middle of praise and it's gone. Because you're thinking about something else. We're going to get more to distraction. But I think that the number one reason people struggle to enter into the presence of God in praise is distraction. So, singers and non-singers, everybody, this is for the entire body of Christ. This is for the entire body of Christ, in season and out of season, in tune and out of tune. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, right? It doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Because I know y'all sing in the shower. I know when you turn up that radio, you're singing out in the car and you got the sunroof open, you got the window down and you're rocking it, right? And you're singing out to the Lord. I know you do that and I want you to do that at church too. Singing and speaking praises has to be part of what the church does. It just has to be. It's not about singing and reciting, right? The Bible says, in fact, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord your song. The old hymns and the old songs are great. I love them. There's such texture to them. There's such a great, you know, space to just, wow, just the way that those words were and those tunes and melodies that take you back. But then there's some songs, when you go back to them, they make you sad. So if you go back to an old song and it makes you sad, deleted, sing a new song to the Lord. Get a new song, okay? Praise helps us focus on eternity. Jesus sets our focus on eternity. Songs help us connect with the Lord emotionally, spiritually, mentally. They help us to memorize scripture and the word of God. Melodies create memory. Melodies create memory. I learned all the books of the Bible based on a melody that we put them to when I was little, right? And I still, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, where is it? Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, right? You know, and I'm trying to find it. And I sing that song in my head because music stirs memory. Singing and speaking praises to God drowns out the voice of the enemy's lies, right? And causes him to flee because the enemy's always trying to distract us. Praising God brings him to the forefront of our circumstance. It brings him to the front. In Psalm 33, it says, "Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright." That means it looks good on you. "Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host." By the word of the Lord, you were made. He breathed life into you. Two rocks didn't bounce together and you were made. Amen? There was thought. There was wisdom. There was creativity. Just look at us, right? Lots of creativity. I'm not going to point at Dennis or anything. But God's just, you know. Hey, Pastor Rick passed this on to me, okay? He said we have to make fun of Dennis every once in a while. That keeps him coming. Where's Pastor? I know he was here somewhere. Yeah. He's hiding in the back. No, just kidding. But no, God is creative, right? He loves us. You're beautiful, Dennis. I love you. All right. "He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you." Amen. Sing. Praise looks good on you. Give thanks. Gratitude looks good on you. Praise him with various instruments. I don't care if you're tapping your fingers on the kitchen counter, you know, when you're worshiping the Lord with your song. Praise him with instruments. Do it well. Do it with joy. Why? Because God is faithful, loving, kind, powerful. He's worthy of awe and wonder, of all the praise that we can muster. He is worthy of all the praise that we can muster. David said in Psalm 106:2, he said, "Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord or can show forth all his praise? How could I praise you half enough?" How could I praise him half enough for what he's worthy of? And then Psalm 34:1-3, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." How often? All times. "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Back on Mother's Day, Nancy and I gave a message called "Praise on My Lips." And Maggie made that giant lipstick, which I loved. That was awesome. But it was about how we speak to people and the things that we're saying as far as, like, you know, complaining or letting kind of garbage come out of our mouths rather than edifying and lifting other people up. So if you could use more on listening to that, go back to Mother's Day from this year. So "his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." That doesn't sound like an isolated time, right? "Well, I'm just going to stay home and I'll just do church all by myself and I don't want to see anybody." I'm not saying that you can't watch live stream once in a while. We love our live streamers. We're glad that you're live streaming. But make sure that you're getting into a place where you're involved in some kind of corporate worship and around people. Magnify the Lord together. I don't think you guys understand what it looks like from our side here when we look out and we see you guys with your arms up raised, and we see, and you know what, guy, I don't want to point out the men, but I love our men. When I see men with their arms in the air, that is amazing. Because you guys, you let down that pride and you lift your hands up to Jesus. And you say, God, I need you. And the women whose men raise their hands, you're blessed because your man is seeking Jesus. So keep praying for your men, and men, keep praying for your wives. Don't give up, right? Even if your man's not next to you or your wife's not with you at church, don't give up. Let's magnify him together. Magnify means to make bigger. To exalt means to lift up. Let me ask you, does Jesus capture your attention? Yeah, does he capture your attention? Amen. In a world of craziness, of so many reasons to complain, we need to praise the Lord because praise casts out fear. It lifts us up. It sets our eyes on him because greater is he who lives in us than he that's in the world. Let your praise be as so loud that it drowns out the enemy. You know, I like to sing. But when I sing to God with passion, when no one else is really listening, it doesn't sound good. Because it's just, your spirit longs to be out of this flesh and with Jesus. But we are in this flesh for a reason. We're in this flesh because we are lights to the world. We are the salt of the earth, and it's our job to bring others to Jesus. But I don't know about you, but when I get an encounter with Jesus in time of praise, I feel like my heart is beating out of my chest because my spirit wants to be with Jesus. And it doesn't matter how I feel or what's going on in my life. Everything else fades in the light of his glory and grace. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So, amen. So set your eyes on him. Magnification of God and amplification of your voice will bring hope, courage, strength, joy, because it is vocalized, verbalized giving of glory, gratitude, honor, credit, attention, thanks, and submission to Jesus. God, I'm yours. I'm yours. I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I give you thanks. Hallelujah to your name. You are holy. You are worthy. No weapon formed against me will prosper in Jesus' name, because I serve the King of Kings and I serve the Lord of Lords, and he is good and he is faithful to every generation. To every generation. When we praise, we extend our hearts, our hands, our lives to the King of Kings, who's deserving of our utmost praise. We don't just think a prayer. You can pray in your spirit. So maybe you don't look funny at the grocery store when you're in line, you know? There's been times I've been in the grocery store and I know I got to talk to somebody and they're asking me a question. And in my heart, in my spirit, I say, Jesus, give me the words to speak. Lord, I give you glory. Use my mouth right now. I say that in my heart, in my spirit. But when I wake up in the morning, I don't just pray quietly in my heart. You can. But when you let it come out of your mouth, what happens is it goes out of your mouth and your ears hear it. And then it goes into your heart. Sometimes when we just think and we think, it just keeps rolling over and stirring over and we're not really sure. But when we speak it out, it falls onto our ears and we hear. When we praise God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're pointing to that lordship of our lives. Jesus is everything that we need. He is our all in all. We could do a whole series on praise because the book of Psalms speaks of praise in every chapter. As soon as Cliff retires the Book of John series, maybe we'll do that. But Psalm 150, this is how the book of Psalm ends. And the praise the Lord means hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord in every language. And Pastor Rick used to do what Valu in India called a Shabak, right? And it was where you kind of get down, you get ready, and then you jump up off the ground, you shout, hallelujah! We used to do it. Everybody up, on your feet, come on, let's do it. Let's do it, people. All right, so get ready to jump. We're going to jump up, and we're going to just shout, hallelujah! Top of your lungs, ready? Ow, yeah, your knees hurt. Okay, crack, I heard lots of cracking. Okay. And ready, here we go. 1, 2, 3, hallelujah! One more time. 1, 2, 3, hallelujah! Woo! right? You guys are awesome. Who's breaking a sweat already? All right. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord. Let's read it together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath sing out and shout out a hallelujah. If you're breathing, you better be praising. That's what I like to say. If you're breathing, you better be praising. I love when Jessica plays a hallelujah on her piano, right? I love hearing Hank play a hallelujah on his guitar. Paul, you're playing a hallelujah on your drums. Sarah and Lisa, you're singing out a hallelujah with your voice. In the New Testament, you'll often see the word rejoice. Rejoicing in the Lord is taking delight in and finding joy in who God is and what he's done. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't mean that you have to put on a fake smile and say, everything's perfect in my life. God is perfect in my life. And I know he's working in my circumstances. So I'm choosing joy, choosing to rejoice. Rejoicing, taking delight. So praise is not for Jesus' benefit, but for ours, right? Jesus doesn't need our praise to get through this day, to get through his day. He knows that we need to praise him to get through our day. And he delights in our praises, and he longs to be in relationship with us. He is a jealous God, and it's a good jealousy. It's because he bought you with a price. The price of his blood that was shed purchased you, purchased your spirit and soul. But yet you get to choose if you're going to go with your owner or not. You get to choose. God knows what is best for us, right? He knows and understands us. And I want to encourage you guys, and I know, you know, this is not to pick on any music that you listen to. But I encourage you to watch and be cautious of what lyrics you're listening to. Kids, listen. If you're listening to songs about suicide, sex, songs with the F word in them, songs with cursing, songs with talking about going with boys and being in the car with them alone. I mean, I hear stuff in the stores that I'm like, no wonder our kids are troubled. They don't know what to do because they're listening to these songs that glorify and amplify sex, drugs, suicide. That's why our kids are confused. And they're trying to find their truth. And it comes through Jesus Christ. What lyrics are we listening to? God likes all kinds of music, but his message has to be truth. So if there's a genre of music you like, I can guarantee you there's a Christian artist out there that does that genre of music. Get good stuff in your ears. Listen to good stuff, right? All right. What are we listening to? Hebrews 4:16. This is why we can come before the Lord and why he gets us, because he is our great high priest who understands all of heaven, understands everything we've gone through on earth, and he understands hell. He understands every aspect of the universe. It says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can come to Jesus the way you are, as is, because he understands you and he loves you right where you are. And as Pastor Rick has said many times, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. He is always working in us to draw us higher, to make us stronger, right? Better, transformed from glory to glory into the very image of Christ Jesus. You know, one time I asked the Lord about our church, because I've been coming here since I was 6 years old. And several years ago, I said, God, when you look at our church, what do you see? And God just gave me this vision of, I was outside in my vision, I was outside in the parking lot, and I just kind of saw God's eyes looking down, coming straight down right into the building right here, and it actually landed on someone over there, and I don't remember who it was, but into a person right into their heart. God doesn't look at the building. He doesn't look at the clothes you're wearing. He looks right to your heart. When he looks at our church, he sees your hearts, right? And he loves you. It's not the sound of your voice. It's not the position of your hands. It's not the clothing you're wearing. He sees the attitude and motivation of our hearts, and he meets us where we are. We can't cover it. We can't cover it. We can't hide it. We can't hide our sin. We can't hide what's truly going on in our hearts, because God, Jesus, shines his light into the very depths, the very caverns of our souls. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. It says the Lord is enthroned on the praises of his people. When we praise God with our lips, it sets him upon the throne of our hearts and gives him room to work and have his way in us. Praise lets go of pride. It gives honor to the leadership of God. It opens our hearts to what he wants to do in us. And Satan does not want God to work in you. Satan does not want you to change. He wants you to stay just as you are. And in fact, if he can get you to stay just as you are, he might even get you to go downhill a little bit. He might even let, you know, people in the 80s, back in the 1900s, used to say, oh, he's backslidden. He's backslidden. Well, okay, what does that mean? Regressed in his walk with God. Walked away from God. Prodigal son. The prodigal son was walking away. All he had to do was turn around and see that the father wanted him home. Right? The father wants his home. So Satan, the way that he gets God to not work in us is through distraction. Placing our eyes everywhere but on Jesus. And I know you all are with me. Because you come out from your bedroom in the morning or wherever you have your Bible and you grab your coffee and you have every intention of grabbing your Bible and your journal and sitting down, and then something happens. You know, something explodes, you know, you realize, oh, I'm late, you know, whatever, and suddenly you didn't even get to it. You know, several times I've gone to my journal the next day and I realized, oh, wow, I had a real deep conversation with God yesterday. I wrote down the date. That was a